Good afternoon. Before we get started, if anyone has a cell phone on, we would appreciate it if you turned it off or put it on silent. That back door is to remain free and clear, either in the room or out of the room. And we would ask that you please keep your voices down in here. The mics pick everything up and it's hard for us to hear. Meeting is being audio taped and videotaped. There are notices of appearance here for council. If you want to be copied on decisions, it would be helpful if you filled them out.
Actually, councilors, you have to fill them out so that we know where to send the decision to. So please make sure to fill one of those up. Thank you.
The meeting of the License Commission, Wednesday, August 21st. It's 3:06 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chairman Camerati Ferrer, Commissioner Branville Bard, and Chief Gerard Mahoney. First matter, application, Jewel Dex Garrier for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Jewel Dex?
Mosai Alama for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Second call.
Gethegan Tegegni for a new Hackney driver's license.
Second call.
Iwinitu Bogle for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Second call. Okay. Also, as an FYI, if anyone here is here for Sweet Touch. Oh, it's Sweet Touch.
The one before.
Sorry, Sweet Touch Cafe. It's number 16 on the agenda. That has been continued to September 11th.
Application continued from June 12th. Verizon Incorporated's request to further extend or amend their special noise variance. Oh, sorry, I skipped one. Disciplinary matter, Verizon Incorporated at 10 Ware Street for alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.060.
We'll call it together with the other ones, just the same.
And continued from June 12th, Verizon's request to further extend or amend the special noise variance at 10 Ware Street.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Johanna Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, from the law firm of Hemingway & Barnes, and I'm here on behalf of Verizon New England, Inc., in connection with the 10 Ware Street generator.
Thank you. Do we have any people from 10 Ware Street or abutters that are going to speak on this? Okay. Go ahead, Counselor.
So we are here seeking a 90-day extension of the previously authorized noise variance. As the commission at this point is well aware, for at least the last 6 months, Verizon has been working on the installation of an emergency generator with appropriate sound attenuation at its 10 Ware Street facility. It is not for a lack of effort. We have been diligently trying, or a lack of investment. At this point, we have spent close to $1 million to buffer the sound from this generator. And we are making good progress towards sufficient attenuation to bring the noise from the generator in line with the Cambridge Noise Ordinance. Unfortunately, when we did our last authorized test run on July 23rd, we were still just above the limit. That has caused us to go back and look at the plans once again. It appears our engineering team is telling us that if we install a new muffler on the exhaust stack of the generator, this should be the last thing that we need to do. An order has been placed for this equipment. I understand that the equipment should be arriving within the next 3 to 4 weeks, and installation will promptly commence upon its arrival. Again, we've received assurances from the contractor that this is it, this time it's going to do it. So we are here requesting permission to do 3 additional test runs over the next 90 days, one on August 27th, one on September 27th, and one on October 25th, October 25th being the last one. We will continue to provide notice to the neighborhood as specified in the original noise variance, and we will be providing notice and testing results to the city through Andrea Boyer if this is agreeable to the commission.
And when you say contractor, are you talking about the contractor that's building the sort of the attenuation,
correct,
but you're also dealing with AssinTech?
AssinTech is sort of overseeing the whole thing. They have been advising us from the very beginning, and then they have a contractor who is actually doing the physical installation of the equipment.
So AssinTech is also basically saying that this new muffler is supposed to take, and I know that you submitted it to us, but how above is it right now?
I think that it is only about 10 decibels above where it needs to be.
Only cannot be used with 10 decibels.
I believe it is 10 decibels above where it needs to be. But I think if you look at the numbers over time, it really is an improvement from where we started out. And I do want to assure the commission we are taking this seriously. We are making progress. As I said, a lot of time and a lot of money has been invested in remedying this problem. We are sorry that it has gone on as long as it has. And I think, you know, I can candidly say we are all very surprised that it has gone on as long as it has. We fully expected it to have been fully remedied by, you know, the end of July, and I think everybody was really surprised when we got the numbers that continued to be over.
Chief Boyer, do you have anything else in terms of this case?
Well, it's not uncommon that when the generator was baffled, that if that was a dominant source of noise, then now the muffler or the exhaust could be, and now they have to order more equipment, so that has happened in other cases. And once that dominant source of noise is baffled, then now you're going to hear the stack, and now that's measurable. Previously, you wouldn't have been able to measure it because the generator was too loud.
So, I'm sorry, Chief Boyer. So, are you saying that once they baffled the muffler, now we're going to have the issue with the stack?
No, well, that's what they're building the piece for right now. This is the stack.
Oh,
this,
okay,
is the new equipment for the stack, the exhaust. Same thing.
Okay, so this should be the end of the road if this can be put into compliance.
Correct. And AssinTech actually built a stack for another location down near Fresh Pond, and that did work. Not that this one seemed a lot bigger, but hopefully it will be.
Do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Okay. So my suggestion here would be to continue the disciplinary matter and leave it open, because this is a violation, but leave it open and not take action on that. And I would approve the 3 additional test dates with the same conditions as the other variance, and then just with the addition that a new variance fee would have to be paid at this point, because this is now a new one.
So leave it open with the thought that if it's ameliorated, then...
If it's ameliorated, we'll close the case. Case okay. Is done, and then nothing will happen in terms of the discipline.
Understood. I agree with that.
Okay. All right.
That'll be
it.
Thank
you
very much.
Give me a second.
Sir, can we keep the door clear? Yeah, either in or out. Can't block the door. Thank you.
Number 1 for Joldex Garrier.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Okay. My first name is Juldex Guerrier. Juldex, my last name is Guerrier.
And that's G-U-E-R-R-I-E-R?
My first name, J-U-L-D-E-X. My last name, Guerrier, G-U-E-R-R-I-E-R.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mr. Guerrier, you were a driver licensed for taxis in Revere, is that correct?
Before, yes.
Did you have any issues there?
Before I had my license and the police in Boston City, my medallion is go back for the taxi river, but now I don't have my license. Now I'm looking at my license.
Okay. Did your taxi driver's license in Revere ever get suspended?
It's suspended before. The driver license had me suspended before.
And why was it suspended?
After I pick up any people in Boston.
Oh, okay. I understand now, okay.
What did he say?
When he picked up, he had a taxi driver's license from Revere, but he was picking up people in Boston.
Oh, understood. Sure.
Has your regular driver's license ever been suspended?
No.
So you no longer have your Revere driver's license?
I don't have my license in Revere now.
Okay.
Your regular driver's license wasn't suspended in 2015?
This month?
In 2015, your regular driver's license wasn't suspended?
Yes, before. Yeah, before.
It was suspended?
Yeah, before.
Yeah,
before.
Okay.
Now it is okay.
The chair asked you had it ever been suspended, and you responded no, but it has been, and it's now restored.
Yeah.
Okay. And why was it suspended?
Before it's suspended, now my driver's license is okay.
Okay, yeah, but why was your driver's license suspended?
Just failure to pay a violation.
I see. Yeah. And do you currently have a job set up here in Cambridge or not yet? You're going to start looking.
I'm looking in my license for work. I have a taxi. After that, I'm looking in the medallion for putting in my car.
But you don't have a Cambridge medallion?
No, I don't have a medallion now. I'm looking.
Okay.
I don't see anything recent that prohibits.
Okay. You fine with it? Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition? Okay, I close the grant.
Right.
Granted, thank you. Officer Zito is going to get in touch with you next week to get you your license, okay?
Okay, next week?
Next week.
Next week, what day?
I don't know, next week. If you don't hear from him by Tuesday, give us a call.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I'm finished?
Yes, you may go.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Loyal 9 LLC, doing business as Loyal 9, 660 Cambridge Street. Convictular all alcohol license number 11514 for alleged violations of failing to comply with the crowd control manager requirements on July 26, 2019. Call the next one.
Yeah, call the next one 2 minutes.
Yes, and application Loyal 9 for a change of opening hour from 8 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday and an increase of patio occupancy from 35 to 65.
Thank you. Can you swear them in?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you stand, raise your right hand? swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your names for the record and spell your last name?
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, Cambridge License Commission Investigator.
Thank you.
Daniel Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, owner of Loyal Mark.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Bubenik.
So during a routine task force inspection this year, July 26, I went to Loyal 9 restaurant and observed multiple violations. The first being that management on site was unable to produce any crowd manager certification paperwork. The second being the crowd manager paperwork had not been filled out every day. And third being that I counted 58 people on the back patio, which has a maximum capacity of 32. Additionally, I counted 42 seats on the back patio, which has a maximum seat count of 32.
Thank you. Mr. Myers?
Yeah, so indeed there are certainly a few infractions that evening, without a doubt. For that night, I was there myself as well as we did have a certified crowd manager on site, but she was not able to provide her certificate. Frankly, it just came down to having an issue with the system online where she was not able to print it. I do have that certificate, a copy of that certificate here.
We'll take it.
So because I did highlight the expiration date on it, showing that she was indeed on that evening certified. It's not something that we've done since then. I'd also like to submit for this month, we were not before keeping a daily checklist on site, and we're not doing that. So I have, as we're operating right now, those checklists are at the restaurant. I have copies of those that we're now keeping on a regular basis. Frankly, for that evening, it was just a one-time situation. We were in a position where we had a group of 10 that was to join us outside on our patio in celebration right after getting married. And very quickly, that group grew in size, and we did not control the capacity of our patio. The patio is quite large at 2,600 square feet, which is putting us in front of the board today in our application to increase that seating size as to something that, frankly, just fills in the space. Because what we found was that we were, for the most part, always keeping within that capacity range, but only using less than half of the footprint of the patio itself. And so it makes it so the space is a little bit prone to groups gathering, as it did occur on that evening.
Okay. Since you brought it up, but the way that you are applying for now, zoning has limited you to a total of 160. So you're taking an additional number from inside, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so you're not really...
We're not increasing the total occupancy, just redistributing it, I guess would be the proper term. And frankly, and I'm well aware that ignorance is not a defense, but we were just using it improperly. We had originally applied for a license, and then in 2016 applied for the square footage to be expanded, and we poorly filled out that application. We should have at that hearing expanded the seats, the number of seats that were used outside. On this evening, we were well below our 162 count for the number of guests in the entire occupancy.
How many people did you have that night?
We had a maximum at any point in time of about 110.
Mr. Bubenik, can you confirm, or do you have a number
for
that day, the total number that they had on site that day?
I only counted the outside because I noticed it to be crowded, and that the outside was 32.
Okay.
So they were well under inside.
Yeah.
It was a slow
we
night.
Were able to okay. just move the guests right indoors upon frankly being it being brought to our attention that we were so over capacity at that point.
I'm sorry, they were over by how many?
So I counted 58. They have 32, so they were 26 over.
So I see the crowd manager documentation from starting at 8-2. Did we not do it prior to, or?
We did it from occasionally. We didn't keep it on record, and we're supposed to keep it on record for quite a while, and now we're just keeping it constantly on back record.
Okay.
And we weren't doing it every single day. No, that was our fault, and since this is this incident occurred, it's kind of opened our eyes to exactly how we should be abiding by this in a much better and much more stringent fashion. I brought those and provided them in order to kind of just show that we are now keeping a daily record of that, not only filling it out every day. We, out of our staff of 42 to 44 employees, we now have 16 certified crowd managers, and we're continuing to expand that number so that not only are we filling out the applications, making sure that there's someone there at all hours, but also making sure that we have greater access to more crowd managers.
And then in terms of, so right now, your patio has 32 seats, right? And so that day you had 42 seats on the patio.
Correct.
And then now with the redistribution, what you're seeking to do, even though you would, in theory, have to take some seats from the inside when you do this, is that your outside maximum sitting capacity is going to be 65?
No.
Or what exactly?
We would keep our maximum seating capacity at, let's say 50, and then some standing room for 15 additional guests. It's the patio itself, to describe it, it's a bit of a garden, so there's an area where you can
I saw it yesterday.
Out. So, yeah, it's conducive to guests just grabbing a drink at the bar,
yep,
and then moseying outside, which happened en masse on the seating table.
Okay. But you are going to increase the number of seats.
Correct.
Outside?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Also, in terms of your patio, you know where you have your benches against the against that sort of wall fence? You know how,
yeah.
And then you have sort of the open space where you have the corn.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and the transition where there's no chairs and tables right now, you need to close that. There's probably a space about 2 or 3 feet
mm-hmm.
from the fence.
Yeah.
The fences don't touch each other, so people can come in and out of your patio.
In between the wooden structure,
yeah,
and the chain link,
yeah,
fence that's there.
Yeah.
Great.
That
not
needs to be closed.
Yeah. Nature is helping us with that.
Okay. So with that said, I would vote for a violation on the disciplinary matter, and considering the facts and also how we voted in similar cases, I would do a 1 day held in abeyance for 6 months.
Good girl with that. It was their first violation?
If I may, yes.
Yes.
We've been operating for 5 years from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. with no violations.
Yeah. And I do note that, for example, in this patio, they had the square footage. They've had that square footage approved in terms of space. So in terms of space, they've had it approved since...
I believe it was 2016.
Yeah, February of 2016.
I would vote to give them a warning.
I would do a 1 day hold in advance for 6 months. Okay, so violation 1 day held in advance for 6 months. And then in terms of the patio increase, I just want to clarify here that so the number of seats would be 52. Did you say 52?
50.
With max occupancy of 65. With the total seating capacity never to exceed 160.
Correct.
Inside and outside. But you also asked for a change of hours, which we didn't talk about, so let's talk about that.
We would just like to serve the community a little bit better. And Monday through Friday, open at 7 a.m. instead of 8 a.m.
And not change your Saturday and Sunday opening hour?
No, we find that there's a demand for it Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, the demand's not as much there,
okay,
particularly for folks going to work in Kettle Square, as well as the King School once it gets reopened.
And that would be only your food and your food hours, because alcohol,
correct,
can't be served,
no,
at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would approve to grant the changes,
yeah,
to the license.
Yep. Both patio and ours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I do note for the record that we received a letter from Councillor Toomey and the East Cambridge Business Association. Okay, so granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, A.A. Flory Real Estate Trust, 64 Dudley Street, open air parking lot license number 14215 for failure to respond to license commission correspondence and parking more than 9 vehicles on the lot.
Excuse me, sir, you either have to come in the room or exit the room. You can't block the doorway.
A.A. Flory.
Second call.
Disciplinary matter, Jetaway Recycling and Waste Disposal for failure to comply with the cease and desist order of May 20th, 2017 by allegedly loading and or unloading a dumpster on June 12th, 2019 at 5 a.m., July 3rd at 3:40 a.m., and operating without a license.
Stand and raise your right hand, please.
Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your names and spell your last names for the record?
Good afternoon. Ronald Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R, attorney for J-A-W Waste.
Thank you.
Patsy A. Sperduto, S-P-E-R-D-U-T-O, chief executive officer.
I'm sorry. Of J-A-W Waste. Hold on a second. Can you guys take the conversation outside because I can't hear him? I'm sorry. Again, your last name?
Sperduto, S-P-E-R-D-U-T-O, and I'm the CEO of JWA Services.
Thank you.
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, Investigative City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the recent alleged current violation was that on June 12th, alleged that a disposal pickup at 5 a.m. took place behind 1682 Mass Ave. And also on July 3rd, 3:40 a.m., same location, which would be a violation of the Cambridge Municipal Code 816080E. And then they have no disposal license, which is a violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 524010. The history is that the Jetaway disposal license was canceled, and that was noted in CRS in 2013. A cease and desist was sent to them May 20th, 2017, with information to get properly licensed.
I can hear you over, Chief Investigator. Take it outside. Thank you.
So they were sent a cease and desist and information on how to get properly permitted in May 20th, 2017. And there actually was a read receipt, and it was dated May 22nd, 2017. So we did give them a notice of hearing. For them to arrive today, and I received an email from the complainant saying that they would be at the hearing, and they are in the audience, and stated that one of their neighbors saw the truck coming this morning at 4 o'clock a.m.
And this, so this is non-commercial area?
Well, the Mass Ave location is a commercial area.
Okay.
1680-1682.
What is the occupancy of that building?
I don't want to guess, but I thought that was the Starbucks building.
I think it is.
Is the complainant wanting to be heard on this matter?
Sure.
If you can please come up. And if you don't mind raising your right hand.
Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Helen Solorzano, S-O-L-O-R-Z-A-N-O.
Thank you.
I live at 13 Bowden Street, which is the truck behind the restaurants that she referred to. So, like she said, I've been woken up several times by these trucks coming early in the morning. On June 12th, at 5 a.m., and I actually got some videotape of the truck leaving. I was originally upset because it was waking me up at 5 in the morning. I understand because we've had truck issues of deliveries can't be before 7 a.m. and I guess the trash pickup can come earlier. But since I complained, they woke me up on July 3rd at 3:40 a.m. They actually woke me up last week, August 14th at 4 a.m. And then I was talking to my neighbors today and it woke them up today at 4 a.m. I've seen the truck because I can hear it coming down the street. I look out the window. They have a very distinctive red truck with big white lettering on it, so I know it's the Jetaway truck. I don't know why they're coming at 4 in the morning, driving down a residential street to pick up in this little zone behind the restaurants.
They drive down Bowdoin Street?
Yeah. And then exit out on Hudson Street.
Counselor? You can stay there in case we have questions. Thank you.
Good afternoon. With respect to the original cease and desist on May 20th, 2017, that was issued to Atkins and Whitworth. Mr. Sperduto's company purchased the assets of that company in August of 2018, a year later, so he was not aware of this prior cease and desist order. It wasn't sent to him. With respect to these June and July violations, Mr. Sperduto's company purchased Barry Brothers assets in April of 2019, and those are Barry Brother routes that he took over. And Mr. Sperduto was unaware, and apparently Mr. Barry, who's here today, was unaware that a license was needed to pick up garbage in the city of Cambridge, so they didn't have one either. So Mr. Sperduto intends to apply for a license since one is required. The early morning pickups, the drivers were unfamiliar with that area, and I'm told that there are now GPSs installed in these trucks, and they're going to be told not to pick up the garbage, I believe, at 7 a.m.?
Yeah, so it's a 7 a.m. ordinance. We looked it up. We've set up boundaries, you know, for the city of Cambridge, so if a truck comes anywhere near Cambridge before 7 a.m., I'll get the alert personally, and I can get in touch with the driver and remind them that he's not allowed to go there before 7 a.m. You know, we do apologize. You know, noise ordinances and time ordinances are somewhat, you know, common in the waste industry. I service 3,000 customers in Massachusetts. I don't really have any issues like this. And, you know, this is the first one that we're dealing with here in Cambridge as well.
So when do you intend to apply for the license? I mean, because you were sent the hearing notice on July 16th, and today's August 21st, and we still don't have an application.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to do a personal issue. My daughter was rushed to Boston Children's Hospital. We spent 2 weeks there with emergency surgery, and I came back this Monday, actually. And we had thought we had a license with Barry Brothers, and when Ron looked into it, he said, no, Barry Brothers isn't licensed either. But with Barry Brothers, they thought they were getting permits for each dumpster every time they drop the roll-off container off within the city of Cambridge, mm-hmm. was their license. They've actually, you know, they've been doing work in the city of Cambridge for 20 years without a license, unfortunately. And they've done work for the city themselves directly. So Michael Barry, you know, also wasn't aware of it either. So I don't think I'm the only person that has done it, unfortunately. It's not really common for city to license waste haulers. It's one of the few that, you know, in the state of Massachusetts, and I apologize, we should have known it, but where we found out today, we'll have an application done by tomorrow and over to the city.
And then in terms of the GPS, when is that going to happen? Because if we, according to Ms. Florizano, I mean, as if today I'll take, I won't take today's incident, but at least last week there was still a truck at 4 a.m.
Yeah, so the GPSs were installed in a truck while I was gone. And we met and, you know, we looked at the locations today. I've been out for like 2.5 weeks, so. I got to assure her that it's definitely not going to happen again.
Where is your operation based?
So we have a location in Brockton, we have a location in Bellingham, and we kind of come towards Boston from both directions.
Are there restrictions in any other of the communities where you conduct business?
Yeah,
with respect to
times,
early hours and
hours and times and noise ordinances, absolutely. It's really common for it not to be 7 a.m. I do a lot of work within the, you know, Boston proper, which is a lot of that stuff is done, you know, from midnight on. And as we were moving routes around is how the location next to her kind of got changed, and that driver started going there a little early, why it started happening again. So, but I rectified it today.
I thought I heard a couple different things. One, it said when you took over the routes with Barry's, or Barry's routes, you thought that they had a license, but then I thought you said that you were unaware of the license and requirements. So.
Well, yeah, when we originally got the notice, I asked, you know, Michael Barry, hey, do we have a license in the city of Cambridge? And he said, yeah, I'm sure we do. We've been there for 20 years. And then I went on a vacation and ended up in the hospital with my daughter. So when I came back today and he was trying to dig up that license, he realized he didn't have one.
So you mentioned Barry Disposal, and what was the other disposal company you mentioned?
Jetaway, which was Atkinson Whitworth Corp. doing business as Jetaway.
Yeah.
Mr. Sperduto acquired those assets in August 2018.
Okay.
And the reason I brought that up is because this notice was May of 2017, the initial violation.
So you purchased the Jetaway company?
I purchased the assets of the company.
Okay.
Yeah, not the actual company itself.
All right.
Does that company still operate after you purchased those assets?
No, Atkinson Whitworth is now closed, and the assets, the dumpsters, the trucks, and the name are now with Mr. Sperduto's new company.
Do you have any other questions?
I
don't
know.
Do you have anything else, Counselor?
No, I don't.
Okay, sorry.
With
that said, I would find no violation for the failure to comply with the cease and desist order. I would find a violation for the June 12th and the July 3rd and the failure to obtain the license. I think I would issue a warning in terms of the failure to obtain the license, but I would issue a $300 fine for each of the loading and unloading. I mean, I think it's clear, and I think, you know, the testimony was clear that even though they may have not been aware in terms of our ordinance, they do know that these exist and these are common in every town and municipality, so.
That's too good. I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope your daughter gets well soon.
Disciplinary matter, Nicolazzo and Sons Landscape LLC for failure to comply with the cease and desist order of December 12, 2018, operating without a permit and operating on June 19, 2019 at 11 a.m. during a prohibited period.
Nicolazzo and Sons.
Second call.
I know.
Application, Interstate Management Company, doing business as the Charles Hotel at 1 Bennett Street for an increase of capacity of Noir to 43 seats inside, inside occupancy of 68, 24 patio seats on private property.
Good afternoon. Please state your
name. Good afternoon, Madam Chair. James Rafferty, 907 Massachusetts Avenue, appearing on behalf of the licensee, Interstate Hotels. Present with me is the hotel manager, Alex Attia, A-T-T-I-A.
Thank you very much. Right now we have 42 seats inside, and so we're increasing that by one
just
to 43.
One. That's correct.
And then we're adding a standing room capacity of inside of 25.
Correct.
And then we're adding 24 patio seats? Or no, the patio seats are staying the same. That's what you already have.
That's correct.
The patio.
The patio is there. And it's, I think the capacity in the patio is 24.
Capacity in the patio is 24. So. Okay, so really just adding one seat and then the standing room capacity.
Correct. I think we at some point in the life of the hotel license, there have been different permutations of this space, and I think there might have been some confusion on the licensee's part as to what the standing limitations were. So the prior license didn't address standing. So we had the architect stamp this plan, and we reviewed it with the building department and obtained the necessary sign-offs and have filed it here this evening today.
Okay. And then we're keeping Henrietta's patio at 98, the hotel patio at 34, and then this.
So, right. No other changes beyond
okay.
the noir change.
I know, because capacity with this is a little cray-cray.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys have questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition?
Okay, I would vote to grant. Granted. Thank you. Thank you very much. Application Grafton Incorporated, doing business as Park Restaurant and Bar, 59 JFK Street, to amend the entertainment license to include a DJ.
For the record, James Raffi again on behalf of the licensee. Seated to my left is Patrick Lee, the manager. As stated in the application, this is a longstanding licensee looking to expand its entertainment license by including a DJ.
And right now you have other type of live entertainment, correct? Or
no? I don't believe so. I'm sure we have background music above conversation
yeah.
level.
Yeah.
But beyond that.
I see that in November of 2017, I'm sorry, no one noticed this before now, you actually removed from your entertainment license the DJ.
Yes.
So now you want it back.
Exactly.
Okay.
The public demanded it.
Excellent. And the reason for that is you realize you need the DJ.
It's a nice option to have.
Okay. Any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. Granted.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be presumptuous, but I'm going to continue to sit here since I have the two next
if
cases.
If it's yours, yeah.
It is. Harvard Square Barbecue Company, LLC, doing business as Smoke Shop, 8 Holyoke Street, has applied for a common victualer all alcohol license. Proposed hours of operation, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. all day, seating for 137 inside. Total occupancy of 162. Andrew Husband's proposed manager of record. Premise described as approximately 5,100 square feet first floor, consisting of dining room, kitchen, storage, and bar. Lower level consisting of dining, kitchen, storage, and restrooms.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon again. Once again, James Raffi on behalf of the proposed licensee. Seated to my immediate left is Andrew Husbands, the proposed manager, and to Mr. Husbands' left is Brian Lesser, L-E-S-S-E-R. Mr. Lesser and Mr. Husbands are the principal owners of the LLC.
Thank you. And this is a new license.
This is an application for an original license at a location that has had a license for several decades. It was most recently licensed by Unboca, but has been closed for nearly 2 years. Prior to that, for many years, it was Sandrine's. Mr. Husbands and Mr. Lesser, I'm sure, are familiar to the commission. They operate a smoke shop in One Kendall Square. The proposal here is essentially to use the existing floor plan, very little in the way of changes. Same equipment, same tables and chairs, in fact, will be utilized. So there is no change in capacity. There is no change in the physical layout of the space. It's a two-level space. And this will represent a unique type of cuisine for Harvard Square. There is no barbecue restaurant that we're aware of in Harvard Square. Mr. Husbands has developed a reputation for his smoke shop restaurants of high caliber, high quality barbecue, won several awards in the culinary world, and he's looking to bring that same skill and acumen to this location, Harvard Square. Given the long history of licenses located in this location, the fact that there are not other restaurants serving barbecue, and the fact that we are anticipating support from the larger Harvard Square community, the visitors and tourists that are regular attendees, and the fact that it's located in the heart of Harvard Square across from Harvard Yard, we believe that the public need exists for the issuance of this license request to be allowed.
Thank you. You, just for the record, you're also applying for 10 televisions, correct?
Yes.
No, didn't make it into the agenda. And then in terms of the hours, I note that it was advertised for 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Your application actually says 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. I think there was an email asking for the 10 a.m. to 2 a.m., but I just want to correct that that was the case, or if not, I...
We would 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. sounds great.
What are you speaking?
That's what we're seeking.
Do you plan to open at 10 a.m. and close to 2 a.m.?
Why 10 a.m.?
Well, 10 a.m. because I think we'd like to have the option to do brunch on the weekends, which
okay.
Maybe you'd consider.
Okay.
You know, our other location opens at 11 a.m. for lunch.
Okay.
So would we want 10 a.m. on the weekends and 11 a.m. Monday to Friday?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And then a 2 a.m. closing every day?
Yes.
I didn't have any other questions.
Do you
have questions? Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Please come up. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Before, Mr. Husbands, I know that you are a manager of record and you have had no disciplinary issues with the local board or the ABCC, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with the rules, laws, and regulations of the ABCC, the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol, and those of this board as
yes.
well. Are you TIFF certified?
I'm being trained next week.
His entire staff is in the training. He has an employee that's certified to certify such a thing.
So all of our managers, all of our bartenders are TIFF trained.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Now with that said. Support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Denise Jilfern, the Executive Director of Harvard Square Business Association. That's J-I-L-L-S-O-N. And here to lend our complete support. We're really excited about this restaurant for a lot of reasons, but, you know, Holyoke Street has really taken, you know, sort of a beating with the construction of the Smith Campus Center, and as you know, Imbuca lasted about 18 months on Holyoke, and it was a really beautiful place, so it really makes sense to keep, you know, the decor and the equipment. I mean, it was really lovely and kind of a shame that they didn't make it, but they were in the middle of a construction site. So now the street is beautiful, and I think that, you know, not only the offer of barbecue, which we do not have in Harvard Square, but I think that the reputation of these gentlemen, as well as the experience that we've had with their other restaurants, and the fact that, you know, they are already members of the association, we're looking forward to partnering with them on a lot of events, and maybe even events on Holyoke Street, bringing back, you know, some of what we used to do with Bastille Day and that sort of thing. So lots of excitement, and hope that you will vote affirmatively. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? With that said, I would vote to grant with hours of Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m.
We're in
the room.
All right. Thank
you.
And 10 TVs.
Huh?
And 10 TVs.
Well, the TVs were already on the application. They just weren't on the agenda. But they did apply for them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Application. Transfer of the wine and malt package store license held by Fresh Pond Market, doing business as Fresh Pond Market, 358 Huron Ave,
to FP Market LLC doing business as Formaggio Kitchen at the same address. Valerie Girdle is proposed manager of record of a premise described as ground floor retail food store selling beer and wine, containing approximately 4,000 square feet with one exit and one entrance.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. James Raffi again, representing the proposed licensee. Seated to my far left is Mr. Girdle, Ihsan, I-H-S-A-N, and to my immediate left is Valerie Girdle. Mr. and Mrs. Girdle, unknown to the commission as the operators of Formaggio restaurants, they have Formaggio food stores. They have they hold licenses of wine and malt package store licenses in both their Hampshire Street location as well as their longstanding location on Huron Avenue. This, I imagine, the commission recognizes this location. This is the longstanding home of the Fresh Pond Market, a very much beloved neighborhood institution that has probably been there
30s.
Longer than Chief Mahoney's. But maybe his mother recalls when I moved in there. But it was,
I worked there.
Is that right? You might need to recuse yourself.
46 years ago.
Wow. Child labor laws are not what they were.
We have working papers.
So the longtime family that has owned the market has looked for a buyer, the commission may be aware, and a buyer that would also operate this as a retail food market, and that's what the applicants intend to do. The floor plan, and as you'll see, is largely unchanged. It will sell the application. It would be for the transfer of the existing wine and malt beverage license. The balance of the space will be used as a retail food store, as it has been for decades.
And then in terms of, there's no pledge of the license. Or is there a pledge of
no, the license? No, there isn't a pledge of license. Okay. The license, there was a note, but we made a modification to the application because...
Do you have a copy of that modification? Otherwise, can you just cross it out on this one?
Sure.
I don't have it.
We decided to... The note didn't cover... There's a separate transaction involving real estate with different entities, not the proposed licensee. And upon examination of the note was not intended to be involved in the license purchase. So the purchase price is set forth in the application is $30,000. We have 3 months of bank statements showing the presence of those funds in accounts owned by the proposed manager.
And then are the hours going to remain the same? So Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7, and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6.
Correct.
It's right on the top of the pledges checked off. You are an approved manager of record, correct?
Yes.
And you have had no disciplinary issues with the local board or the ABCC, correct?
No.
And you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
And are you TIPS certified?
I am not. But my husband is, but I will be.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote for the grant.
Okay.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to see the store staying.
Yeah.
And, neighbors would kill us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave you. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure spending the afternoon with us.
Application, Sweet Cream Foods Incorporated, doing business as Cafe Luna, 612 Main Street, for pledge of license to Stone and Bank.
Matt Hamer, H-A-Y-M-E-R.
One second, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm going as fast as I can.
No worries.
All right, good afternoon. Sorry, your name?
Sure, Matt Hamer, H-A-Y-M-E-R.
Thank you. And can you tell us the purpose of the pledge?
Well, I had a line of credit with Stoneham Bank, which I needed to convert to a fixed loan, which was done, and the bank said, here, sign this document. I said, so
and here we are.
All
right. And no changes to the operation?
None at all. Other than my payment went up significantly.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
I would hope so.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. I'll go to Grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Highgate Hotel LP, doing business as Courtyard Boston, Cambridge, 777 Memorial Drive, for change of manager to Mohammed Hashesh.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your last name for the record?
Mohammed Hashesh. Last name is H-A-S-H-E-S-H.
Thank you. And Mr. Hashesh, have you been the record manager on a license before?
No, not in Massachusetts.
You have elsewhere?
North Carolina.
I know that you gave us your resume here. You do have some experience in Massachusetts, correct?
Yes, before at in Boston Liberty Hotel and the Revere Hotel as well.
And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, DABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to sale and service of alcohol?
Yes, I am.
And do you understand that we expect to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
And I do note for the record that you already provided us your TIP certification. So with that said, do you guys have any questions?
No.
I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application Yoki Express Porter LLC, doing business as Yoki Express, 1876 Mass Ave, for a new common victualler license. Proposed hours 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, seating for 45, total occupancy 50, entertainment for background music, four TVs for mostly used as digital menus. Nick Tran is proposed manager of record.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name for the record and spell your last name?
Nick Tran, last name is spelled T-R-A-N.
Thank you. And can you tell us about Yoki Express?
Yes, Yoki Express currently has one other location located in the Seaport District in Boston. It's been about 2 years operating right now. So right now we'd like to expand and open one more in Cambridge.
And what exactly is the operation like?
It's very similar to Pokeworks, and I noticed there are a few Pokeworks here in town. So very similar, it's a fast food concept. We offer a poke bowl and sushi burrito.
Do you make people decide, or do you have them all set up?
We have basically our signature rolls, yeah, and poke bowls that people can decide, or they can make their own as they come up on the line.
And I do know that you got your BCA to continue this as a fast food, so that's not an issue.
Yes.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant. Granted. Thank you.
Application Chizumba LLC, doing business as Felipe's Taqueria of 21 Brattle Street, for an alteration of the premise.
Let's just read what the alteration is rather than this entire thing. The alteration is to expand the existing roof deck by approximately 800 square feet with a total seating of 144 and total occupancy of 259. And then you're also applying for additional entertainment, recorded music above conversation level, live music with amplification, dancing by patrons, and DJ. And there's also a request to go to 2 a.m. Sunday through Saturday for your alcohol, because your food and entertainment's already till 2.
Yes, sir.
That summarizes the entire thing, yes?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Point of information. This. You said 800. Is it 800 or 1800?
Sorry, 1800. 1,800. Thank you. Okay.
My name is Kevin Crane. I'm an attorney at 104 Mount Auburn Street in Cambridge. The last name is spelled C-R-A-N-E. And I have with me Tom Brush, who's the manager of record and principal owner of the LLC.
Thank you. Mr. Crane, did you by any chance bring me the floor plan of the roof deck expansion?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Can I please have it?
Well, I'll give you the green cards first, okay?
Okay. I know it's in viewpoint, but there has been so many iterations to this plan, I just want to make sure we're looking at the right one.
I apologize for that, and I, the Commissioner of Inspectional Services did initial and okay it this afternoon, as per Ms. Lynn's request of this morning.
Thank you.
And I also prepared a matrix, which...
Thank you.
Which he initialed as well.
Beautiful, thank you, because as you both know, capacity has been crazy in this place. We've moved it around a little bit, so
yes.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of this. You can go ahead.
Where everything is being kept in place on the first floor and the second floor, the roof deck is being expanded from 60 seats and 38 standing to 144 seats with 115 standing. The operation at this site has been going on for about 5 or 6 years now, and it's been fortunately a success. The space next door was went vacant, and then Mr. Brush had the opportunity, the landlord, to expand on the roof only. And as you know, he's in the process of doing that. He's built it out pretty much already. It's nice to see an existing business expanding any place in Cambridge, but particularly in Harvard Square, where unfortunately we hear more news about places closing down and you know, storefronts being vacant. And I see it every day as an issue. Fortunately, on the other side of the coin, I do see some of the spaces being built out, which do take time, but they're vacant in the meantime. It's also, I believe, the city's policy generally to encourage outdoor seating, and particularly on the roof decks. I do have a number of signatures as far as the support of the petition. And as you stated, the food is presently 2 o'clock with the alcohol 1 o'clock, and the business is doing well enough that they could support the use of the alcohol till 2 o'clock, similar to actually one of the previous petitioners here tonight. And the entertainment, although you might think it's a lot, it's more of a, I term it as a defensive application, particularly, for example, with the dance. There's no dance floor on the premises, but Mr. Brush is concerned that if two customers decide to have a little dance, that he would be in violation if he didn't have a license. So I think that applies to some of the other applications regarding the entertainment license.
Thank you. I do have a question. Are you doing the proposal for the entertainment inside and outside?
It is for inside and outside, but it's primarily related to the roof deck where the capacity is increased. There is no dance floor in the restaurant. There's really not that much square footage, but the roof deck being expanded, that is possibly that people would want to move around a little bit, particularly some of these larger events.
And the TV is also upstairs?
That's only down on the first floor. There's no TV on the roof.
You're not adding one TV? I saw it on this, or are you just counting the current TV?
Counting the current TV, okay. Yeah. There's no other TV right now. If we add one, we would apply for a license to add that on. Okay.
I want to make sure. And then in terms of access to the roof, I mean, I'm sure ISD has looked at this, but in terms of the access to the roof deck, is it still all through the mezzanine level?
We have actually, it is code compliant, just having the way it's set up behind the fire escape. And however, we have added an additional stair off the back of the building to allow for any larger groups that need to get off the roof quickly. We need it so it's a fully compliant for everyday use. It's not a fire escape. It's actually a fully compliant stairwell with standard rise and run and width and all that. So we were not required, but we felt it was important, particularly if you have a large group exiting all at once, it would put too much of a strain on the existing restaurant and would put us over capacity in the restaurant as people were exiting.
Is this the stairs on the plan?
Right, so yeah, on the back, that's correct. That's an additional stair. In addition, there's still a fire escape, but there's an additional set of stairs that will allow access both upstairs and downstairs if needed. Under normal operations and under, you know, light capacity, we would need it.
That's and that, right, but that's straight from the roof.
Go straight
right
from
down
the roof,
ground.
Right down to the ground. Go straight down. To
exterior
the
stairway.
Exterior stairway. That's correct.
Enclosed?
It is. It has a roof over it.
Okay.
But it is not enclosed. It's all galvanized steel and locking doors top and bottom. So when you're closed, you don't have somebody going up and down under the roof.
Illuminated?
It is illuminated, both top and bottom.
Anyone in favor of this petition?
Good afternoon, Denise Tilson, Executive Director of the Harvard Square Business Association. I'm here lending our support to Tom, longtime member of the association, and having been at once, I guess, in a butter, or at least I was across the street at 18 Brattle, overlooking, sometimes longingly, at the patio, especially on a beautiful summer day. So just understanding how important it is to Harvard Square that people just love this rooftop patio and to expand it and be able to offer more people a great experience in the square as well as the addition of the entertainment, I think would be a very nice addition. And despite Mr. Crane's pessimism, my optimism continues, and where he sees empty storefronts, I see incredible potential, but nonetheless, there's a lot going on in the square right now, and anything that we can do to offer, you know, additional fun experiences will be a good thing, so we hope that you vote for this affirmatively. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? So I would vote to grant with the numbers as listed on the matrix given to us because I don't know that they're the same that are on the change to existing license. I just want to make it clear. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a 5-minute break.
Application, Holt International Business School Incorporated, 10 North Point Boulevard, has applied for a lodging house license for 292 rooms with 500 occupants. Dining space with inside seating for 231, total occupancy of 257, outside seating for 75, and outside occupancy of 80.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Please state your names and spell your last name for the record.
Sure, I'll start. Richard Rudman, R-U-D-M-A-N. I'm legal counsel for EF and the Holt Business School with the law firm of DLA Piper.
Thank you.
Oriana Montani, O-R-I-A-N-A, M-O-N-T-A-N-I. Also legal counsel for EF and the Holt Business School with DLA Piper.
Thank you.
Jessica Zubart, S-Z-U-B-A-R-T, Senior Vice President with Holt International Business School.
Thank you.
Ben Kolnos, K-O-L-N-O-S, Assistant Director of Dining Services with Restaurant Associates.
Thank you. I had a question. The dining space, is this for Holt students only, or is this also going to be open to other non-Holt students?
There are two dining spaces in the building. I believe it's the fourth floor, there is a cafeteria with a patio that is going to be for students and Holt personnel and EF personnel. On the ground floor of the building, there is an Airstream trailer that is parked in the lobby. And which will serve coffee and light food, and that is open to the public.
Okay. That's what I couldn't figure out. I know you guys put something in the application, but I couldn't quite envision it now yet.
We were looking for the box to check Airstream trailer.
We don't have one, I must say.
But maybe we'll have it.
We will have to add it in the future. Okay, everything else seems pretty straightforward in terms of the application. And then the hours that you put here, will these be the hours for the public access ones, the 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sundays and Saturdays, and then Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.?
There's actually an error in the innkeeper's application.
Okay.
It's correct in the CV application. The hours would be from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay. Okay, so these are the same location.
Yes.
Okay, but we had one as one education circle and the other one at 10 education circle.
The address of the building
it's
is 10 education circle. One education circle is another EF building.
Yes, okay. So just for the record, we're also talking about application number 52145. For accommodation and entertainment license. So this is all one building?
Correct.
Okay.
Two addresses? 10 North Point Boulevard and 10 Education Circle?
It was 10 North Point Boulevard.
Which is now?
It has now been changed to 10 Education Circle.
DPW changed that recently.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now I got it. And then the entertainment is in that downstairs crazy cafe, or everywhere.
Actually, it would be upstairs, and the entertainment that we're envisioning is background music in the cafeteria, and then occasional dances or music for students.
I said one, Holt International Business School and EF, are they one and the same or two?
They are not. No.
They are not.
No. Holt was founded by EF's founder, Bertel Holt. So the two are related closely, but they are not the same.
So, okay. That's fine.
You could think of EF as the sponsor for the Holt Business School.
Okay.
The business school is a nonprofit.
And then in terms of the lodging house, is there going to be a dorm name or something associated with it? Or
it's called Holt House.
Holt House. Okay.
Yeah.
You said the business school is a not-for-profit.
Correct.
Okay. And the Clubhouse Cafe in 1965. This is what you're, so this includes the fourth and the first floor.
Right, 1965 is the Airstream Cafe and Clubhouse is the fourth floor dining hall.
Okay. All right, got it. Any other questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of these petitions? Anyone in opposition? I would vote to grant both and then make the changes accordingly if it was informed, including the hours of 8 a.m. to 11
p.m.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, yes, on the CV application, I believe the choke saver training was out of date.
The what?
The choke saver training.
Oh, okay.
So we have new licenses for the choke saver.
I'll take them.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the cafe is not too crazy. You should come by.
Application Veggie Grill Incorporated, doing business as the Veggie Grill, 57 JFK Street. Common Victualler Wine and Malt License pending approval has applied for a change of manager to. Oh, I don't want to mess this
up. Janois, the Givarvet News.
Thank you.
He also goes by JR.
Yeah,
for the fluency challenged like myself. So.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Chief. My name is Joe Devlin. I have offices at 171 High Street in Newburyport, Massachusetts. I represent the applicant. About a month ago, I was on vacation, and the applicant was ably represented by Attorney Andrew Upton. For their license. With him at that time was the regional manager, Rodrigo Rivas. This would have been the only restaurant in his region, but he was still the regional manager. The intention was to come in here when the general manager was appointed and ready to take leadership of the location, which JR is here to do. JR, this is a California company, and these New York and Cambridge will be the first two locations they have on the East Coast, so they don't have anybody over here who's, and Veggie Grill is sort of a specific restaurant chain. It has no, it's all vegetables, and it has no milk or meat.
We've heard.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I assumed you had. So JR is actually this today on, or yesterday on, he's staying here. He's got a long-term rental for the next couple of months while he looks for an apartment, and he's going to get the operations up and going and the hiring, and he is TIP certified. He has worked for Veggie Grill at a location as a GM with alcohol sales in California. They don't have managers of records there. There's just the licensee on there, or the licensed entity on there, but he has been in the role of manager of record at this location, and also for the restaurant group as a general manager that he worked for prior to this. He's TIP certified, he's a United States citizen. He leaned into me after listening to the violations and said, "I'm scared." And I said, "Well, that's a good thing." So he does have the copy of the rules and regulations for the city of Cambridge. He has read through them. He has now promised to be even more familiar with them, so he doesn't have to be in front of you again. And he's here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. My first question was whether you were living in Massachusetts, because what I have here is California. So I'm going to give this back to you so you can put the address.
Do you want to put that address on?
Yeah,
okay. All right. You want me to write it out? Why? Yeah, why don't you write it out?
Because I just, yesterday.
I'm going to start there.
It's in 100 banks, I just remembered.
That acts as a good scared straight program, I think. Let's do the violations first.
I've also suggested that he come visit your office. I've suggested that he goes to the Board of Health, that he goes to the other various, find out all the intricacies, and now he's gotten a good example of it. But luckily he's not a trash hauler.
Do you note for the record that we do have your TIP certification, which was submitted with the application.
Just initial. Thank you.
And then since your counsel has already told us about your experience, I'll ask you, are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, DABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes.
With that said, I would vote to grant.
Mm-hmm.
Counselor, as you know, this is still pending at the ABCC, so my suggestion would be for you to reach to Mr. O'Neill Friday and
okay.
see where he's at in terms of submitting this to the ABCC so that you can give the ABCC a call and let them know that this is coming, because I don't want it to get confused.
I have the investigator's name at the ABCC
okay.
as well, so.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you all again.
Welcome to Massachusetts.
Thank you.
Application Fort Point Investments LLC, doing business at Mark, 80 Fawcett Street, for a garage and or flammables license for 250 parking spaces, 2,500 gallons of gasoline, and tanks of autos only, and 20 gallons of Class 1.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Dennis Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R.
Okay, Dennis, I'm sorry. Is Dennis with two N's or one N?
One, thank you.
This is pretty straightforward. I know that this is an existing building, and way back when the garages were sort of built out, but the license for this particular one had not been received. I do know that you have the flammable permits and 250 parking spaces for residents for fee.
Yes. For residents only, yeah.
Yep. And the 20 gallons of additional gasoline, do you know what that's for?
Yeah, we have like a on-site gator and snow blowing equipment, just for storing it.
All right. This is all leasing apartment?
Yeah, for rental, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They owe us $75 for
yep.
For
there's an outstanding fee owed $75 just to make sure I know that you're covering for someone, but if you can just let her know that needs to be paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant pending payment of the $75 fee. And that's it.
Concur.
Cool. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Why don't you come up first? We'll take you first. How about that?
Masai Elama for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Masai Elama, M-O-S-S-U-I-E. Last name is Adam, A-N-E-M-A-D-A.
Thank you. And you have never been a taxi driver before?
No.
And do you currently have a leasing agreement or a job agreement in Cambridge, or you're just starting to look? Just starting to look?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I reviewed your history correctly, your license has never been suspended, is that correct?
No.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition? I would vote to grant. Granted. Right. Officer Benny Zito will be contacting you next week in terms of the next steps, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. What's your name?
Arneto.
The fourth one.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
First name is Onetu, E-W-I-N-E-T-U. Last name is Bogal, B-O-G-A-L.
Thank you. And you've never been a taxi driver before?
No.
No. And did I read this correctly that your driver's license, you just got your driver's license in June of this year?
No.
Okay, you've had a driver's license before June of this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Had it ever been suspended?
No.
And never revoked?
No.
And it was a Massachusetts license?
Yeah.
I keep holding this. Sorry. Okay. And do you currently have a job in Cambridge, or are you just starting to look now?
I study.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition? I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you. And again, Officer Zito will be contacting you next week in terms of next steps, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Back to that.
Administrative matters. La Fabrica, 450 Mass Ave, has filed an appeal to the ABCC of the two-day suspension.
This is they are seeking a stay of the suspension.
I'm just getting there.
We received further correspondence from their counsel. They are appealing due to the finding of the violation and also the length of the violation. Their counsel has also provided us a case saying, interpreting that it was automatic, and although I completely and respectfully disagree with that argument, based on Chapter 138, Section 64, and also the case that he cited, based on the fact that they are appealing the finding as well as the amount of days, I would vote to stay the suspension while their appeal goes forward.
I would certainly concur.
Okay, thank you.
Nicolazzo?
A couple of them.
Well, sure. Let's do second calls. Why not? It's already 4:40.
Okay. Oh, wait. A.A. Flory.
Hold on. Let me do them in the order of what I have here because it's now getting crazy. A second call for Gezahen Teghen. Second call being at 4:40, no show, no action. And I wouldn't put this back on until we get confirmation that they're showing up. So, next one is AA Flory. This is for the open air parking lot. So this is a licensed parking lot that we license for 9 spaces. And Mr. Bubenik, do you want to tell us what you found?
Sure. On July 11th, I observed the parking lot at 64 Dudley, found that there are 11 cars parked in there. They're only licensed for 9.
And then we reviewed this with traffic and parking and found that they have them registered for 24 parking spaces. Now, were you able to speak to the owner?
Yes, I spoke, and he basically told me that sometimes people, when there's street cleaning, come and park in the lot, and sometimes there's maintenance workers that come in, and he doesn't feel like he can control that, plus the residents who are allowed to park there. I'd let him know that he can only park the number of cars that he's licensed to have parked in the lot. I actually spoke to him on the phone on July 23rd, I believe? Yeah. Who said he received the notice of hearing.
And the...
So how many marked spots are there, if any?
There are no marked spots.
No marked spots. That lot right there, I see. Okay. I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But
if you count out each section of chain link fence being one spot, there's about 15 perpendicular on one side, then you can fit maybe 3 or 4 on the other side of the lot.
And I'm gathering they haven't applied to
increase
for spots?
No.
Okay. Who is the owner?
I don't have his name in front of me.
I believe it's Arthur Flory.
Yeah, Arthur Flory from A.A. Flory Realty Trust.
Is that the address where they do business, though? Is that
76 Pigeon Lane in Waltham.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As a condition of the license, we order that the space is being marked?
We can, yeah.
I just think that would be a pretty easy resolution to the problem.
I don't see how that, if they still got the space to park, then folks are still, the outside end of the
so
is still parked.
Traffic and parking says they have a license, they have a permit?
So traffic and parking has them registered for 24 spaces. So whenever they
what
got...
What does that entail?
So
whenever they were first applying to make that a parking lot, they would have started with traffic and parking. Traffic and parking requires you to register the number of parking spaces that you have in your location. Then they have to get licensed.
So if traffic and parking said 24, why would they only get a license for 9?
Only 9 top client tenants or something?
It could be. I don't know.
I think that's our conundrum and what we've been trying to get a response. And I believe Ms. Lynch has tried to contact him to
several
sort
times.
Of get a resolution, which is why we ended up here sending this hearing notice.
Right. So, and correspondence of April 25th, receipt requested?
Investigator Bubinick said that he confirmed.
No, he has no email, so it went snail mail.
That's what I mean, but did
I spoke to someone on the phone. Who was asking me questions about the investigation, and then he noted to me that he got the notice of hearing over the phone.
Did he identify himself that he's the owner of the property?
He may have. I don't remember the name he gave.
Okay, so why don't we do this?
He identified himself as some sort of representative of the property. I just couldn't tell you what that position was.
I just think we need to maybe have a conversation with traffic and parking about.
We've gone back and forth with that. I'm not getting a clear picture from Adam, who handles the registration, as to why it's 24. He just says we have them at 24.
I mean, it clearly looks like more than 9. No, more than enough.
Oh, you
yeah, for sure.
You could fit. I bet you could fit 30 cars then.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point.
If you went perpendicular on both sides, yeah, you might be able to fit 30.
But that's part of the problem, because traffic and parking says 24. The license is for 9, and then clearly there are...
How old is the license?
Goes back.
Staff didn't give me the full file.
I'm curious if there was a money issue involved in that, you know, if it was up... Like below 10, you only paid X?
No, because they're 4 fees, so he pays per space, $12.10.
Right.
Per year per space?
Per year per space per ordinance.
Oh, well then there's your reason right there.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we...
I would table this.
Defer taking action on this. And then in the meantime, Ms. Lint, I would suggest sending a certified mail letter to Mr. Flory, requesting that he meet with you. You give him a date and time.
Otherwise, he'll be revoked.
Yeah. And if he fails to show up, then we'll consider the revocation of the license. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Is Nicholas Lenson.
448.
Go ahead, Mr. Bubanek.
During a routine patrol on June 19, 2019, I observed an employee of Nicholas Lenson's operating a leaf blower at 14 Craigie Street. The last time Nicholas Lenson was before the board was December of 2018 for usage of a non-permitted leaf blower and operating multiple leaf blowers within a 10,000 square foot area. The board found a violation at that time on both accounts and issued a fine of $600. At that time, Nicholas Lenson needed to reappear before the board to renew their 2019 permit. In September of 2018, the board voted to issue a fine of $300 for operating a leaf blower during a prohibited date, and in August of 2018, the board voted to issue a fine of $600 for operating leaf blowers during two separate prohibited dates in June and July.
Also July?
I have in my notes June and July. I can look for the exact dates here.
I have June 19th.
I have June 20th and July 11th, 2018.
Oh, no. I'm talking about
2019. Oh,
2019.
No,
2019, we just have June.
I'm sorry, this is in reference to the hearing in August of 2018.
I see. Yeah. Where they had had various violations, so we had decided not to automatically renew. We know that they got these notices because they just paid the overdue fines for that case. So I would find a violation, and I would issue a $300 fine for operating without a permit, a $300 fine for operating during a prohibited period, the 2019. And that's it. I'm not sure that...
Should their license be...
They don't have a license. We basically told them that they needed to come in front of us to get a license because they had been... found in so many violations. And so they ended up not
no license, and they continue to operate, but their fines are up to date.
Yeah, they just paid them last week.
They're in West Newton.
And I think the only other thing I would do is I would send a notice of this to the owners that they were servicing that day of 14 Craigie Street so that they know that they are hiring an unpermitted company that has now been fined and will probably give the fines to them today. Violation, total $600 fine for without a permit.
Admin, if you're ready. Middle East. has also requested a stay of the four-day suspension.
So they are also appealing the findings and the number of days. So with that said, I would
stay.
Benedetto had submitted additional information from the last hearing for the board's consideration.
Yeah, this is the one that we heard on July 31st, and they just basically gave us more information as to discipline. It doesn't change my vote at all. This is, we heard this on
the 31st.
On the 31st, you were here on the 31st. So basically, we gave him a one-day license suspension to be held in abeyance for 6 months for failure to comply with the crowd control paperwork. They presented a strong case, you know, saying what they had changed, which is how we, why we voted the way we voted. And this just basically says that they have now terminated the manager that had been responsible and stuff that they didn't say at the meeting. But again, it doesn't change my vote, so I would just acknowledge.
Okay.
Acknowledged.
Eddie Lacus, on behalf of G&G Corp, doing business as L-Life Mobile, Garage and Flammables license at 2615 Mass Ave.
So this one and the next one were both before us before, and we were just waiting for the zoning sign-offs and fire. This is just change of ownership, and we have received everything, so granted as to both.
Yeah, I remember.
Mark Johnson, on behalf of President and Fellows of Harvard College, doing business as the Harvard Film Archives, for a one-day extension of the current closing hour of 11 p.m. to go to 8 a.m. from August 31st into September 1st for an all-night film series.
Granted.
They do that every year.
Yeah.
Reconsideration of the resubmission and affirmation for... complicated improv center.
So finally they gave us everything. Did they also give us a proof of citizenship
yes,
of the manager?
It's all right here.
Okay. Yeah. So I would vote to grant and resubmit to the ABCC for changes.
Excuse me.
I feel the same.
Yeah, that's three of us.
Four of us.
Yeah, eight. Just for the record on number 31, this is actually a malt and wine license, not an all alcohol license. That change wasn't made. They've always had a malt and wine. I just want that clarification on the record.
Consideration of statement of reasons for matters heard on July 17th. That would be Coffee Shop LLC.
Approved.
DMG Food Enterprises.
Approved.
Then July 31st, Nookie LLC.
Approved.
Benedetto. And Sandeep.
Approved. We have two copies of this.
J. Joshua Nitzo on behalf of Whiting Turner, special noise variance, August 26th to 27th, alternate date of September 4 to 5.
Anton.
Christiana Embriano on behalf of Bond Brothers, special noise variance, August 23rd.
Granted with amended dates as requested by the applicant of August 30th with 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. and an alternate date of August 31st with 1 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Kyle McKenna on behalf of Shama Construction, holder of special noise variance 44442, had requested and was granted an extension.
So, Commissioner Bard, you may recall this. We heard this on the 17th, and this is the one where they wanted to change the crane hours to get that extra hour,
yeah.
And we ended up giving it to them in the morning.
Yeah.
So the barber shop is affected by the 7 a.m. on certain days, specifically on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So what I would propose to do is that we change the variance and amend the crane hours from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., which was what we had originally granted, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and then Thursdays, the 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. Because the 7 a.m. on Thursday doesn't affect the
barbershop being impacted. What does that translate to? I mean,
the owner and his customers are not able to get in because it's the breakdown of the crane?
I concur.
Okay.
Bill Wilbur on behalf of John Moriarty. Special noise variance, 350 Water Street, Saturday, September 7th, alternate date of Saturday, September 14th.
Granted with the condition that cannot stage trucks near the residences or the residential area.
Clarification from July 31st regarding 5052 Irving Street, Cambridge IVN.
This is the lodging house, the inn holder license that we granted. It's one building but two separate addresses, so we broke down the license into two. We granted the total capacity, so we just broke them down, and this is the second record.
Ariane Brecky on behalf of Chubby Chickpea.
So do we have the state peddler's license? They had replied that they were getting one. Yeah, it just, so I would grant pending submission of the state hawker peddler license.
It was applied for.
Yeah.
Park Restaurant and Bar has applied to increase their standing capacity on their private property patio to 23.
So this is also a follow-up to the increase that we heard, Commissioner Bard, on the 17th, mm-hmm. where they increased the seating and we approved
right,
that.
That's yeah.
They needed to get us the plan, so they did. So I would vote granted for both of the 17th.
Attorney Crane has advised the commission that construction for Mex Taqueria at 5 Tech Square is taking longer than expected. They're asking for an extension of the approval.
I would acknowledge, and then I would just say that licensee has to provide us an update during renewals of 2019. Acknowledged and approved.
O2 Yoga Studios, 1000 Mass Ave, has notified the commission that they closed permanently as of April 28th.
Acknowledge, cancel license, and close file.
Ed Goyette has notified the License Commission that Beantown Coffee permanently closed on August 1st.
I acknowledge license cancel and close file.
I've already done that. Discussion of 21-proof tip certification audit during alcohol license renewals.
So we have our Rule 5B10 basically saying that all owners, managers of record, and any employee in the direct handling, serving, or selling of the alcohol must have 21-proof or any other training.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest doing this year for renewals is basically having them certify that they are complying with this rule. And then maybe having our investigators do an audit during 2020, during like sort of the slow season, mm-hmm. saying, you know, show us the proof. Okay. So what I was proposing to do is sending a notification to all license holders that have an alcohol license, basically pointing the rule out to them and saying, we're going to have this new question. You're going to have to give proof when the audit happens in 2020, just to give them, because a lot of times their employees get them and don't print the certificates, mm-hmm. just to give them time to do it. But mm-hmm. I just want to sort of raise it with you guys and see if you were okay with that process.
So
okay.
That makes sense.
Discussion of taxi hailing application waive in light of Cambridge Municipal Code.
So we had a meeting with a representative from Wave, which is an app, basically like Uber and Lyft, but just for taxis. This is a private.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds great, and I think we should present it to our drivers. The only issue is that currently our ordinance requires taxis to use meters. It does have exceptions, but it's only with regards to fares that are outside of the bounds of Cambridge. The Wave representative said that he could tie the app to the meter, but the point of the app is to work like Uber and Lyft and give you sort of like a flat rate right off the bat. So what I'm suggesting to do is two things. One, the drivers are really looking forward to talking to us about this, so I want to schedule meetings with the drivers and sort of get their take as to whether or not they want this app. And at the same time, because I'm sure this won't be the only app, and because even if it is, we should get a legal opinion from the city solicitor as to whether or not the ordinance has to be amended. And if so, I would say that we recommend to the city manager that he propose to the council to amend the ordinance to allow the use of these apps in the future.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, our schedules have been insane, and the schedule meetings has been really crazy because we don't have a quorum. So my question to both of you is, these meetings with the drivers, we can do one of two things. I can send out a survey to the drivers and have them say whether they want the app or not. I could set up meetings where they can come talk to one of us, and then I relay the information to you.
Let's just start with a survey.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay.
The survey might put the issue to bed.
One of us will be you.
Me or my designee.
I favor that option.
Okay. Okay, I can probably try and do both and see. I'll talk to the staff to see what's less cumbersome in terms of sending out stuff. I mean, we could also just do the meetings and see how much participation we get. And I could just hand out the surveys at the meeting rather than having people talk or whatever. But I just wanted to be okay with you guys for us having those meetings and not include you in them.
I'm not very
and then
okay.
Just relay the results to you. I'm sure you are devastated. Okay. All right, so opinion from city solicitor. As to whether ordinance allows the use, if not, recommend city manager to request change. surveying.
Drivers.
All right.
One day.
Nope. Approval of minutes.
For oh, the sorry. Day. I wrote so much that I'm over it.
Here you go.
17th and the 31st.
Yeah, and then now the 31st.
17th is just the two here.
There you go.
Where's the last page?
Yep.
Now Mondays. Jackie Jones, entertainment license, Cooper Square Park, Hancock Street. This was deferred from the 31st to find out more information. Actually was presented to the special events committee. She, her daughter received a funded mini grant from Cambridge Public Health Department, and it didn't cover the licensing fee, but it covers the event.
Yeah, and they're asking for a fee waiver. I would grant the license, I would deny the fee waiver.
Franco Gilisovic, at 41 Alewife. This also was deferred from the 31st.
Well, we just need more information in terms of the festival, and we got it, so when it's uploaded, I would grant it.
Jennifer Lawrence, entertainment license.
Granted, no fee, it's a city event.
Same with number 48.
Granted, no fee, city event.
Eric Spicuzza, Malt and Wine Entertainment at the Masonic Hall.
Granted for 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. and may do sound checks of no more than 15 minutes total between 7 and 9 p.m. provided the location allows them to do so.
Emily Dahl, on behalf of Blueprint Medicines, Malt and Wine at 45 Sydney Street Courtyard.
Granted.
Richard Duranian, Holy Trinity Armenian Church, Malt and Wine Entertainment, 145 Brattle.
Granted police detail.
Cindy Moore, Malt and Wine at Cambridge Masonic Hall.
Granted.
Bruce Kaplan, Entertainment at Cambridge Masonic Hall.
Why don't they just get a license?
I don't know.
It's the cost.
Granted. And then, did you confirm with the Masonic Hall that they are not, that they're not seeking an alcohol license?
Bruce Kaplan?
Yeah. This is one of the issues that I had sent out.
That, oh.
So, because the letter of permission mentioned alcoholic beverages, they said that they didn't want alcoholic beverages. I just want to confirm.
I think the Masonic Lodge sends the same letter, and they just change the names of the tapes.
No, but that's not the thing. The thing is also that this person applied originally for alcohol, and then they said no alcohol.
I'll see if Kara.
But I would do this. Because we don't have a meeting before the 7th, I would grant for the entertainment only. If they are also seeking alcohol, I have no issue with the grant of the alcohol.
I'll check with Kara in the morning.
Oh, no. I remember what this was. It's since it's a closed event, they didn't want to get the alcohol, but Masonic Hall may require them to get the alcohol license. So he may need the alcohol license. That's what it was with that. So just...
Okay, we'll check on it.
Yeah. I'll need you to check, not Cara. I need you to
check. I'll just see if she talked to and see what they told her, and then I can move from there.
Yep.
Richard Cravey.
Granted.
Catherine Fennerman, Entertainment.
Granted.
Jason Alves.
Granted.
Ellie Durbin.
Granted.
Deirdre Ruvido. She uploaded the proper ID.
Police utility required.
Magdalena Sywek.
Granted.
Okay. Marcus Grayley, entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall on various dates.
This is the folk dance free with donation thing that mm-hmm. they've done in the past, and they request a fee reduction, which we have done in the past, with rather than having them pay per day, we just do a one license fee of $50, so I would propose doing the same.
Okay.
Granted with a combined license fee of $50.
So I'm just confused because Mrs. Watson's note says $50 fee for 5 days, but this is clearly many more than five.
I think she meant we did in the past 5 days.
Okay. Colin Delaney, Sienna Construction, special noise variance.
Granted.
Chris Richard, Turner Construction, special noise variance.
Granted.
Fawad Mukharker, one-day alcohol license.
Granted with amended hours of 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for Harvard sign-off.
Magdalena Sywek, one day.
Granted with an amended start time of 7 p.m. for Harper's sign-off.
Okay, then we have the late additions. Daniel D'Ambrosio, Cassidy Corp, special noise variance.
Granted.
And it's only for 1 or 2 days during that time. Jonathan Tago, one day entertainment license.
Granted with an amended start time of 8 p.m. for MIT registration and police detail required.
Miranda Choza, one-day entertainment license.
Granted.
Vote deferred from July 31st, Lotus Harvard Enterprise, 1699 Mass.
So I would vote to grant for 20 spaces for interdepartmental registration form and also the new form submitted by the applicant.
Okay, it says 21 and 210.
Because that's what they originally applied for, and that's what we heard. So, but we were missing the interdepartmental form,
okay. And
so we got it, and it's actually 20 spaces, and they actually gave us an updated plan because they also miscalculated, and it was only 20 spaces. It was a mistake on their application.
And what is Lotus Harvard? Is that a...
This is...
Is it a division of Harvard University?
I believe it was going to be residences.
I think
it used to be a parking lot, and now it's like
I know where it is. Yep.
Edward Breed, special noise variance, 38 Bishop Allen Drive, looking for an extension.
Extension granted through November 2nd. No fee because it's a city project.
Ellie Durbin.
Granted with an amended start time of 4 p.m. for park permit.
BAD. Which, I'm trying to think which job is that. Oh, I know what it is.
Carl Howard, on behalf of Newport Construction, special noise variance. This is also a city project.
Granted with the condition they must obtain a Sunday work permit and no fee because it's a city project.
And then I have another one that came in at the last minute.
I don't want it.
Tell Ms. Boyer. It's paving at the King Open.
Oh, for the school.
Approved.
Granted pending submission of documents and approval from other departments and subject to their conditions.
Yeah, we got it.
And no fee. And then Mrs. Watson said that Kathy Zusi, who has been granted a license for Magazine Beach Partners event.
This is going to be heard on September 11th.
Oh, it is?
It's not even on our agenda.
Okay.
The King Open, that's Sundays?
So this is going to be, the date is August 27th through the 28th and an alternate of August 28th through the 29th, so that's next week.
And that is all I have.
Okay. Whoa.